This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Korach. I'm going to focus, Mr. Hashem, on three ideas, fascinating Parsha. The opening Parsha, the opening Rashi, asks the question, Ma'ro'ah Korach lachlik al Moshe. What did Korach see that he instigated this rebellion, this machlokus with Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rashi, Niskana al Nasiyasa shel Elitzofen ben Uziel. He was jealous. He was jealous of the appointment of Elitzofen ben Uziel, his cousin, Sheminuhu Moshe Nasi al Bnei Kos, that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed him, Elitzofen, as prince of Bnei Kos, al Pi Adibur, as instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oma Korach, says Rashi, that Korach said to himself, Achi Abba Arbohoyu, that my father was one of four brothers, Shenema, etc., as it says. Amram Habuchar. Amram was the eldest of these four brothers, not Lushnei Bon of Gedula. His two sons, Moshe and Aaron, they took positions of leadership. Echod Melech, Echod Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech. Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol. Miro Elitle Sashnia, when the next job comes along, who should take that? Loish Loi Ani, not me, said Korach. Sha'ani Ben Yitzhar, Shehu Sheni La Amram. Yitzhar was the next brother down after Amram. I'm his eldest son, so it should come to me. But that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu appointed the son of the youngest of the four brothers. Therefore, he was jealous. You see, therefore, the dangers of jealousy. Because this whole business, this whole revolt by Korach happens because of jealousy. Interestingly, in this week's Perek, Perek Dalet, we have the famous Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar Omer, Hakina VaHataiva VaHakoved Motzien Es HaOdom Min HaOlam. Those three things, those three vices, Kina, Taiva, and Kovod, takes a person out of this world. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, famous commentator on the Mishnah, what does it mean? Motzien Es HaOdom Min HaOlam. It takes a person out of this world down the next world. Interesting, when you learn that Mishnah, what do you imagine? When it says, Kina Taiva and Kovod is Moitzi Odom and Olam, does that mean which world? Says Tiferes Yisrael, both. Aside from the negative spiral that it causes in this world, there isn't a chait where one of these three vices, kina, taiva, and kovod, jealousy, taiva, desires, and kovod, an honor, a craving for honor, which doesn't have a root in all the averas that a person does. Now, we see these very clearly in lots of ways. Kovod, for example, a person gets caught up in kovod. So the fact that it can destroy a person, olam haba, that is very understandable. But how can it ruin this person's life in this world? We need to look no further than Paro. Why? Well, famously, look at this. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayira, "Vayoma Hashem el Moshe leichel Paro baboike hine yoytze hamaymon v'nitzavta likros asfas hayar." Moshe Rabbeinu instructs, Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, "I want you to go and greet Paro. Where are you going to find him? You go out early in the morning. He'll be going out to the Mayim, to the river Nile." And it's after the Krasa Sfas Hayar, you meet him by the riverbank. Says Rashi, why is Paro going out to the Sfas Hayar? Says Rashi, the Nekevo, because he's going to the bathroom. Why? Says Rashi, gives us the background. Shehoya Oise Atzmo Eloiha. Paro made himself into some sort of deity. Gods don't need the bathroom. So he said, I'm not a human being, I'm a god, and therefore I don't need to go to the bathroom. But of course, he was a human being and he needed the bathroom. So he would wake up very early in the morning, would go out to the River Nile to relieve himself. Now, we're familiar with that Rashi, but let's just think about that for a second. Paro would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, let's say. He would, first of all, have the difficulty and the burden of waking up so early in the morning. And for what? To nip out. And to go out when the rest of the country, his advisors, the whole palace are fast asleep, he would go out to the Nile to relieve himself. Now, just think of the practicalities. Aside from the cumbersome time of waking up so early in the morning, let's say mid-morning, he needs the bathroom again. He can't go out now because he can't relieve himself. He's pretending he's a god. He doesn't need the bathroom. He's going to have to wait until the next morning. Imagine the pain he has to endure if he needs the bathroom, but he can't relieve himself because he's got to wait till the next morning. So he puts himself through this pain just for what? For a bit of extra covered, so that his people think he's some sort of deity. What practical difference would it make to his life? In those days, the paro, the leader of the superpower of that day, he had way more power than any world leader today. If he said off with your head, it was off with your head. There was no restraints on him. So if they looked at him as a god or as the leader of Egypt, what difference would it make practically? None. And yet, for that extra bit of cover, because of his, he was so caught up in honor, he put himself through pain and misery for that extra bit of cover. That is a practical application of seeing that Hakinava Taivava Kovod Mitsinis Odom in the Olam says it's first Israel, not Olam Haba. In addition to Olam Haba, Olam Hazet as well. It will ruin this world. Paro is a great example. What about Kinah? So there's a very interesting thing. Take a look. Jealousy. Take a look, please, at the next box. The Pasuk in Bereishis, the very beginning in Perek Hey, it says, "Vayovei Kayin mipriu Adama minchal Hashem." Famous episode in Parshas Bereishis, where Kayin goes out and offers up a agricultural offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first ever carbon, I suppose. "Vehevel hevi gamhu mibucheres sona milchevayim," and Hevel also brought an offering from the choicest of his flock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to that carbon, to the carbon of Hevel. Now, we know the rest of the story, that Kain was so jealous of Hevel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Hevel's offering. So therefore, he attacked him, he killed him, and that was the devastating murder that Kain inflicted on his brother. The Kli Yakar is troubled by the word the Hevel Hevi Gamhu. What does it mean, Gamhu? The Pasuk would have read very easily, "Vehevel hevi mibucheres sonai." Hevel brought from the choice of his flock. Why does it say gamhu? Listen to this. Let's learn through this Kli Yakar. Mahu gam. V'ra'isi b'sefer Tzur Hamor. He quotes the sefer that Tzur Hamor, "Shemeashim k'tas es hevel." Of course, Kayin is the criminal in this story. He killed his brother. But Hevel was also a little bit to blame. "Shelo nis'ore me'atzma ala karbon." Because he did not initiate this carbon. He only brought the carbon after he saw his brother, Cain, bring this flax offering. Hevel also brought. Having seen his brother bring a carbon, he also decided to bring a carbon. He delayed. He only brought it as a result of his brother bringing one. He imitated his brother. He was jealous of his brother. Cain brought a carbon. I also need to bring a carbon. It was jealousy which prompted him to bring the carbon. That, and therefore, he's slightly criticized for what he did. Listen to this. If someone does something through jealousy, the Pasuk says in Koheles Perek Dalet, says Shlomo HaMelech, I've seen people who work shvitz so hard and it's all based on kinna. They're propelled into action out of jealousy. Continues the Pasuk in Mishlei, ki hu kinas ishmerehu, a person is jealous of his friend, gam ze hevel, it's also nonsense, it's vanity. Rotzulema, zehu hagam, it's in a reference to Hevel as well. Hevel, it says, Hevel hevi gamhu. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is referring to. Ki hu kinas ishmerehu gam ze Hevel. This is also an act of Hevel, who was also jealous, and he imitated his brother Cain. Amazing. Shenema Hevel hevi gamhu. Now, let's just explore the myth of kinah just for a few moments, because it's fascinating. We know that kinah is so terrible that it actually makes it into the top 10. It makes it into the Aseres HaDibros. If you were to sit yourself and work out what would you put in your personal Aseres HaDibros? Interesting discussion for the Shabbos table. What would you put in your Aseres HaDibros? I would imagine many of us would put in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Emuna, No Yeh Lecha, not to have other gods. Maybe Shabbos would be there, Kibud Av V'Eim. Maybe murder, Lo Sinaf, adultery. These things are sort of the bedrock of society. But would Lo Sachmoid feature in your top 10? And yet it's there. More than that, the Rikanti says that Lo Sachmoid, not being jealous of somebody else, is fundamental to all mitzvahs. I once saw as well that they pair off in different ways. 1 and 6, 2 and 7. But I once heard that 1 and 10, 2 and 9, etc., there's another way of pairing them. What is Lo Sachmoid got to do with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Emuna? So I've given this moshel before, but it's worth hearing it again, because I think it's a very, very powerful and very important moshel. Imagine, this is exam season, the post-exam season. Imagine you've got two students. In fact, the boy came up to me this morning, Dafka, Rebbe, I can't be in the shir tomorrow because he's got his arts finals. He's got his arts exam. How long is the exam? 5 hours, this is his big exam. Okay. So imagine you've got two students taking an exam, an arts exam. They've both got to paint for several hours. They've got to paint a masterpiece. The first one, he's got to paint a beautiful beach scene with golden sands and blue sea and blue sky. So you give him the canvas and you give him blue and yellow and gold paints. The next one, he's got to paint his masterpiece. And let's say his commission is an autumnal scene with rolling hills and green fields and trees. So you give him the canvas with brown and with green. They both start painting away. And after a few hours, one of them looks at the other one and he says, you know what? It's not fair. Why has he got yellows and blues? I want yellows and blues. So you'll say to him, my dear friend, that's not what we need from you. We want the autumnal scene. You don't need yellows and blues. You need greens and browns. And if the other one wants the greens and the browns, you say, well, we don't need that because you need your yellows and blues. You've got to paint the beautiful beach scene. The point is, in life, we are given exactly the circumstances, the tools, the abilities, the capabilities, the talents that we need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to paint our own masterpiece. And if we don't believe that, if we're jealous of other people because we want this or that or whatever he or she may have, then ultimately it's a denial in our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Lo Sachmoid is so fatal. And that's why it's in the Aseres HaDibros. And that's why it's connected with the first of the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, because ultimately it's a lack of emunah to be jealous because you're not satisfied with your own lot, because you're not satisfied with the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you what you need to serve him. Is it not a natural, impulsive reaction to be jealous? That's the famous Ibn Ezra. Let's take a look at the bottom box. It says the Ibn Ezra, there in the Aseres HaDibros, Lo Sachmoid Anoshim Rabim Yitzmu. Many people wonder, Al Zos HaMitzvah, on this mitzvah, how can it be that someone is not jealous of something else? Something which his eyes desire. But I'll give you a moshel, says the Ibn Ezra. Da, you should know. A villager who's a normal, healthy, mentally well person. And he sees the princess, the daughter of the king. He's not going to be jealous. He's not going to want to marry her. He's not going to entertain the possibility that he would end up marrying her. He'll know that that's not possible. It's not in the ballpark. So too, says the Ibn Ezra, every thinking person has got to realize everything he has is sort of earmarked, especially for him, exactly what he needs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him in order for us to serve. Al-Kain who yismach b'chelka, a person should rejoice in his own chelek. Va'al yosim el libo lachmod l'savos dobo she'ine shalei. Don't be jealous of someone else's something. Ki yeda shashem lo rotz los islo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give that to you. It's a very important Ibn Ezra. More than that, there's a famous, there's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says, V'rekev atzomos kina, posuk again, Shlom HaMelech. Anyone who is jealous, atzmeisov markivin, says the Gemara in Shabbos, kuf nun beis on the base. The Gemara in Shabbos says that a person who is jealous, his bones will rot, based on a pasuk. Verekev atzomas kin, I think a pasuk in Mishnah. What's the midah keneged midah? So I once heard an amazing pshat. Why is it that a person who is jealous, his atzomus will rot. Says the, I forget who says this, atzomus, bones, are connected to the word atzmius. Atzmius means your own personality, your own very being. The words are connected in the following way. If a person denies his own atzmius, his own being, his own independence, and is jealous of another person, then ultimately he is denying who he is, and therefore atzmos of markivin. If he denies his own atzmius, his own being, then atzmos of markivin. You know, even in English we say the word that you, when you feel something very deeply, very strongly, you feel it in your bones. Your bones is your very essence, your being, and that's what we're saying over here. So the midah keneged midah, a person is jealous, is denying his own atzmius, so therefore atzmos of markivin. Lastly, famous Arachayim. Arachayim says in Parshas Noso, "Vayom shnei Moshe yom nosi livnei Naftali Achira ben Enon." The Nosi of Naftali was Achira ben Enon. Very, very unusual name. Achira, my brother is bad. I mean, just imagine the story at home. You tell one of the kids, call up to Achira, he should come down for supper. Achira, my brother is bad. That's good. That's a disaster for sibling harmony. What's Achira? Amazing Arachayim. Says the Arachayim, Achira Yirmoz al derech b'posuk svar rotzei. What was the midah of Naftali? The midah of Naftali was being satisfied with his lot. Svar rotzei. Shehoi Naftali somech b'chelkei. Says the Arachayim, Naftali had the midah being very satisfied with his lot. B'yomim, b'dogim, etc. With the portion that he got in Eretz Yisrael. For whom maima Achira. He called his son Achira because he wanted to instill in his children this midah of being satisfied. What was he telling his child? He was telling each child, what you have is good for you, but is bad for your brother. And he wanted to instill this important value in his children that he called one of the kids Achira to express the midah of Naftali of Svar Rotzon, being satisfied with his own lot. Amazing. Okay, so there we have Korach. What led him to this revolt, this week's parasha, was the fact that he was jealous of his cousin, who he thought he should have got the next job, but yet he went to his cousin, the son of the youngest of the four brothers, Amon being the eldest, and therefore that jealousy ruined and, well, caused, it triggered this whole revolt. And we've seen the dangers of jealousy, like Kinna, Taifa, and Kovet, it's Mitzin Adam in Olam, says the Teres Yisrael, this world and the next world, but it ruins not only Olam Haba, it ruins this world as well. Kovd we saw with Paro, Kinna we saw how it can ruin a person's life. Why is Kinna so important? Because it's a lack of emunah. Because a person ultimately is not appreciating the fact that Kodesh Baruch gives us exactly what we need, tailor-made to serve him. Denial of that is ultimately a denial of emunah. Okay, let's press on. Now, there is an interesting medrash. The following idea I saw in the writings of Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, and he says a fabulous idea. There is a medrash. The medrash says, Omru Chachomim, Chochem Gadol Haya Korach. Korach was a very intelligent person, Umitayane Ha'orim. And he was one of the people who carried the Oron HaKodesh in the Midbar. Ma Ra'al L'shtuzer, the medrash continues later, what did he see to get involved in this nonsense, in this folly? Also, Rob, it's a great question. I can understand why the medrash asks, Chochem Gadol Haya Korach, that Korach was a very intelligent person. Why did he do this? It makes sense because he's an intelligent person. Why should he do this? But what is relevant when the Medrash tells us, Umitayane Ha'orim, he was one of the people who carried the Orim? That's not so relevant. What's that got to do with the fact that he made a mistake, he rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu? What's that got to do with it? Why should carrying the Orim have prevented him from this error? So where Roberts quotes another medrash, and I've quoted it here, I found it in the writings of Chaim Paltiel, but the medrash says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Korach was very jealous of him. He therefore wanted to revolt against him. So what did he do? He went and told lots of stories. The Midrashim give lots of things that Korach spent the whole night going around trying to rabble, to sort of rouse the rabble against Moshe Rabbeinu. One lesser known medrash says the following story, that he would go around telling everyone the following. He would say that, I'm not going to go through it in time because I think there'll be enough time, but he would tell everyone that once there was a case of an almona. He was trying to show people how ridiculous, in his eyes, some of the mitzvahs were, that it cannot be that it's from a divine source, and therefore when Moshe Rabbeinu is alleging that he is the leader of the Jewish people, that also cannot be. So how did he prove it? So he told the following. He said, you know, there was once a very poor almana. She only had one very small plot of land. So she sowed the land. But then Moshe Rabbeinu came and told her, it's Shemitah this year, you can't sow the land. So all the expenses she had to carry out the work and the hiring the animals, etc., she lost. She tried again next year. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you can't do it now. It's Yovel. It's the Jubilee year. You can't work the land. It's got the rules of Shemitah. Again, she lost the money. When she eventually started working the land, the leket, the shikhon peah, of course, were given to the aniyim, to the poor people, the truma to the kohen, the maisa to the levi. And then she sold the land. She had enough with agriculture. She decided she's going to go into farming. She had a sheep, but the rachis hagez, the shearings, they went to the kohen. And then the matonis of the kahuna, the various parts of the animal, also went to the kohen, etc., etc. And in the end, she was left with nothing. So Korach went around spreading this story to try and attempt to show people that keeping mitzvahs is very expensive, it cannot be right, etc., etc. Says the Medrash, Chochen Godelhoi Korach, he was a clever man, umitoyane ha'oran. Of all the people who should have known better, it's Korach. The Gemara tells us in Sota Lamed Hei Amud Aleph that the Oren is Noisei Es Noisov, that the Oren carries those people who carry it. When the Oren was on the person's shoulder, you're not carrying the Oren. The Oren carries you. What is that message? The message of that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we keep a life of Torah and mitzvahs, it doesn't harm our livelihood. Many people think that Shabbos, Kashrus, you know, how can I keep my shop, how can I close it on Shabbos? I've got to keep it open. It's going to harm my livelihood. Kashrus is so expensive. I went to the superstore and I could buy meat for a fraction of the price. But we don't realize that the Oren is Noseh Es Noseh. It carries us. And of all the people who knew that, it was Korach. He was one of the Tanei HaOren. He was one of the people who carried the ark. And therefore, Korach should have known better. That's why the Medrash says, Chochem Godel Hoya Korach, Umitoyanei HaOren. He carried the Oren. So what was he going around telling people this crazy story? He knew that it doesn't work like that. That a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will look after people. And it continues over Roberts, interestingly, with a postscript, and he says, when the Pasuk says, Ubnei Korach lo mesu, the children of Korach didn't die, says Rabbi Roberts, if you like, or Pidrush, that many people, even today, still carry that philosophy. Many people still think that Shabbos and Kashrus harm our livelihood, and we know that that is not true. We know that Nosa, Oren, Esnosov, that the Oren carries those who carry it. An important message from the parasha. Let's move on to one final piece, a beautiful idea. Excuse me, that I saw in the writings of a new sefer that has come out, Olam Hamidas, a very popular sefer, Ramosha Don Kestenbaum. He's a young man who's a Rebbe in an yeshiva in America, and he's written the sefer, which has become very popular. I think it's up to 3 or 4 reprintings. They've actually translated, I think. Anyway, I've got an extract over here in the bottom box. And he talks about the middah of akshonus. Akshonus means being stubborn, digging your heels in. And he connects it to this week's parasha. And it's a very beautiful piece. So let's quickly go through it in the few minutes that we have remaining. Says Moshe Don Kestenbaum in Olam Hamidas. This is on page 120 of the Sefer. Umidas ha'akshonus ma'od musukenes shoshon ba'ez. A person who is stubborn. It can be a very dangerous middah when it comes to shalom ba'ez. V'chol ba'al tzorech liskar. Every husband should know, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu mochel al kavodei. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself forgoes his own honor, but tziva shei mochel shmoi ahamayim b'soito, that his own name should be erased in the case of the soito b'shul shalom bayis, kol shekein shemut lalov limcha al kavodei kadei lishlahashkin shalom b'so. How much more so a person should be mochel on his own kavod, should forego his own honor in order to make sure that there should be peace in his home. But aleinu lishol, we should ask the following question. Ma marviach for action? this stubborn person, this action, what does he gain? Is this argument that he's having with his wife so important, he's got to win? Even if he's right, does he lose money if he actually admits that he's wrong, to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? He'll gain in this world and in the next. And it might be difficult the first and second time to say sorry. After time, it becomes easier. We see families, they don't speak to each other. It's because they're stubborn, they've dug their heels in. Sometimes they don't even remember why they're not speaking to each other. Because they're so intransient, they're so stubborn. Next paragraph. If a person sees that his friend is angry with him, try and figure out, what is it? Why is he upset with me? Did I do something to upset him on purpose or by mistake? Ask him gently. It's always how you speak. Speak gently. Have I done something to upset you? Please tell me. I really want to ask them to apologize. This is an essential attribute when you want to have shalom bayis. If a wife is angry with you, don't be scared of some of the difficult things she might tell you. She's just upset with you. Go up to her, ask her. What is bothering you? Why are you upset? Come back, not straight away, a few minutes later, whenever it is. Ask her again until she calms down. And that will, she'll see you're genuine. And therefore he'll know what to say sorry about. He'll know what the source of her anger is. That is the beginning of the refuah of kol machlokas. Now, in the final paragraph, he connects it to this week's parasha. Omru Chazal, the Mishnah says in Ovis in Parakei, Mishnah Yizayin, Ezu machlokas she'en l'shem shamayim. What is the machlokas which is not l'shem shamayim? Zu machlokas korach v'chol adosoi. Famously, the Mishnah says that is a machlokas between korach v'chol adosoi. Famously, the Mishnah says korach v'chol adosoi v'lo omru machlokas Moshe v'korach v'adosoi. It doesn't say the machlokus or the paradigm machlokus of Shalom Hashem Shemaim is Moshe against Korach and Me'ida. Why doesn't it say that? Why does it say Korach Vadosa? Where's Moshe? Mishum Shemoshe lehoyle shum chelik b'machlokus. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had no place in this machlokus. Shahari also Moshe Yochu kdei lahatzel Shalom b'nei. He did whatever he could. Look at Rashi in this week's parasha. He did everything he possibly could to try and avoid the machlokus. This teaches us an important point, that if you get involved in a machlokas and you don't do everything in your power to avoid and to quash the machlokas, the hosra machlokas, therefore we're party to it. We're not clean from this sin. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to try and avoid the machlokas, and therefore he's not even referenced by it. Machlekas, what is the machlekas? She'en l'shem shemayim. So machlekas korach v'chol adosai. Nothing, no mention of Moshe, because he tried to do whatever he could humanly possibly do to avoid the machlokas. We don't even reference him. So therefore, an interesting piece in this beautiful Sefer Olam HaMidas, which connects to this week's parasha, an important piece. So there you have it. Three interesting ideas on this week's parasha, I hope. And that is, the first is the dangers of jealousy, which is really the catalyst, the cause for Korach revolting, rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. Hakina va'ataiva va'akovid mitzines odom in olam, not only in olam haba, but it ruins your life in this world as well. Second idea, Korach should have known better. Why does it say he was a chacham gadol hayah? But also, why does it say mitanei ha'aron? What's that got to do with it? The answer is because one of the ways in which he tried to encourage people to revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu was spreading the story about this poor Ammon that mitzvahs are expensive, etc. He should have known better. Because of all the people, he was one of the people who carried the Aron, and the Aron is noses noson. It carries you. You don't lose out. B'nei Korach lo meisu, many people still think that Shabbos kashrus can affect our livelihoods. That philosophy, unfortunately, still exists amongst some. That's what we're trying to learn from this week's parasha, that Korach and us, we should know better. And lastly, akshonos nevatim machlokas, that it's very important to try and find out the source of a problem, to speak benachas, to go out of our way, to avoid, to machlokas, to quell, without things escalating. And if we do so, then we're clean. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu did whatever he could to avoid the machlokas, he's not even referenced by it. And therefore, the Mishnah Ovah says, what is the machlokas she'en l'shem shemayim? Zu machlokas korach v'chol adosai. We don't even have a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu because he was totally absolved of any guilt because he did what he could to avoid the machlokas. Thank you very much for listening. Be well and have a good night and a good week. Good Shabbos. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.